Hello, and you're very welcome to another edition of The Others, the Alan Kinsella podcast, where I look at small parties, groups and independents that have contested Irish elections over the years. This week it's the turn of the Howth Development Association, a group that won a number of seats on Howth Urban District Council in the 1930s. Thanks to everybody who's subscribed to the podcast. If you like the podcast, please subscribe and tell your friends, share it on social media, etc. Thanks especially to those who've subscribed to the Patreon. It's patreon.com/electionlit. If you want to contact me, I'm at electionlit on Twitter, Irish Political Ephemera on Facebook, irishelectionliterature@gmail.com is the email, and irishelectionliterature.com is the website. Thanks. Currently, with regards to local government, you have Dublin City Council, you have the County Councils for South Dublin, Dunleary, Rathdown and Fingal. Up to 2014, Balbriggan had a town council, and prior to that there was Dunleary Corporation, and you know, Dublin County Council obviously got split in three, what was Dublin County Council. Even before that, you go back to the start of local government and stuff in the state, you had townships in Rathmines, Rathgar, townships in Pembroke, Cabra, Glasnevin and Drumcondra, I think it was. There was one in the North Rural District, and there was also a county council. There was also an urban council for Killiney, Dalkey. They were known as the coastal boroughs, and they actually lasted, a number of them lasted into the modern state. Now, one of the areas which had an urban district council was Howth. It was established, I think, in 1918 and lasted until 1942, and it covered Howth and Sutton. It lasted until 1942 and then was transferred to Dublin Corporation. Then Dublin, it was 1993, it was removed from the city and assigned to Fingal County Council. And so it sits, I think its reps are now in Fingal. And even though it's in the Dublin Bay North constituency at the moment. But it was just funny, there was all these various different electoral areas within Dublin for local government. Some of it was to do with, you know, where there was settlement, obviously, you know, the Dublin City, but also the coastal boroughs, and that Killiney, Dalkey, Dunleary, Blackrock would have all been populated outside of the city. And I presume Howth and, you know, Balbriggan and some other places would have had their own identities and been populated, or been having their own local authorities. And it's quite interesting, the Rathmines and Rathgar one, and rates were a massive thing for, you know, because it was their main focus of fundraising, but rates were a big thing. And I would imagine one of the reasons for keeping the townships of Pembroke and Rathgar and Rathmines after the foundation of the Free State was that there was, they didn't want to have rates rises, as they would have been subsidising the poorer areas probably of Dublin City. So anyway, you had Howth Urban Council, and they had issues such as water, you know, bringing water in, the aforementioned rates. There would have been peculiar things to Howth, such as fisheries and things and the likes of that. Now, this episode is about the Howth Development Association. And there was, development associations were common enough around the country. They may have had different names. For instance, there was a development association in Kerry, which was mainly focused around tourism and bringing tourism and tourist infrastructure and so on to Kerry. There was one in Cork City, and that was about bringing jobs and industry and so on to Cork City. That was their main aim. So we'll find out now about the Hoths development, but it was those. It was kind of a mix. In that Hoth was a tourist area. I know my own mother went on holidays there from Cavan. But Hoth was a tourist area, but it was also, there was a good economic activity there in fishing and so on there too. So it wasn't, you had to get the balance between improving the attractions, improving the infrastructure there, as well as helping out the local industry and so on. The Hoth Development Associations came into being in 1933. And there's a piece from Mr. Tomás Amuelón, the secretary, the honorary secretary of the Hoth Development Association, in the paper. "We are glad to see you are one of the many thousands who appreciate that there is only one Hoth, but that unfortunately rather neglected for a variety of reasons. This association sprang into being a short time ago to remedy this and to place Hoth as prominently on the tourist map as its natural attractions deserve. Nature's beauty is alone, we realise, are not quite sufficient in the modern world travelling on top gear. You will note, however, I have said there is only one Hoth, and it is not our intention to aim at transforming it into, let's say, a Blackpool. We aim at providing attractions of a musical, educative, sporting and national character for our visitors. The matter of the paths and right of way, which you mentioned, has been dispensed and has been taken up right away. The scope of our activities, however, wider than this. The question of public parks has been taken up with Mr. Gainsford St. Lawrence, who has already given practical proof of his interest in the association. Then our programme envisages the filling of the unsightly portion of the harbour and the provision of a boulevard, baths, a swimming pool and other amenities along the front. An ambitious programme perhaps, but it is time Hoth took a few decided steps forward, and every day we are receiving new ideas. So it seems we must push ahead." They started concerts on the East Pier every Sunday, and these concerts were advertised in the press. "Hoth, tomorrow Sunday, 8 to 10pm, St. James Brass and Reel Band will play at East Pier under the auspices of the Hoth Development Association. Come and enjoy it." And it wasn't just the East Pier. The Irish Transport Brass and Reel Band will play at the Summit under the auspices of the Hoth Development Association. Come and enjoy it. So come and enjoy it seemed to have been their slogan. And there were plans to hold water carnivals at the East Pier on Sunday afternoons. The Hoth Development Association is hard at work on its schemes for the improvement of the town as a seaside resort, and progress has already been made with the cooperation of Mr. Commissioner Meegan. It is believed that the provision of a public park is now near at hand. The Summit, where thousands enjoyed a magnificent band recital last Sunday, is of course a fine natural park, and here it is also proposed to provide further amenities. The erection of a boat pier at Ireland's Eye is also being considered at the moment. This would mean a regular boat service to the island and easy landing for trippers to the beauty spot. The Development Association is only in its first year of existence, but it is hoped that the arduous work of the energetic committee will bear early fruit. A Hoth Week to be held shortly is being planned by the Hoth Development Association, a body that has already done much to focus attention on the attractions of this popular resort. No opportunity for expansion is being neglected by the association, which now proposes to convert the summit into a great natural park properly enclosed. Band performances are being held there every Sunday, the building of a pier in Ireland's Eye, and the establishment of a ferry service from Howth. So details of the Howth's week of fun. Preparations are being made at Howth for a week full of healthy amusements and clean recreation during Horse Show Week. The Howth Development Association are striking out with a big and attractive programme. No pains or expense being spared to give visitors a happy time. In addition to the ordinary fete and carnival attractions, the association are planning to hold a swimming gala, regatta, seven-a-side football competition, boxing tournament, band competitions, drill display, broadcasting, etc., with fairy lights and fireworks, while bands will play on boats in the harbour. The festival, the gala week, got great reviews, and especially the Sunday night programme with the fireworks display, a mass parade of pipers, as well as the other attractions. Now, in 1934, there were local elections for the Howth Urban Council. No Fianna Fáil candidates nominated. Nominations for the Howth Urban Council were received today by Mr. James Warren, Town Clerk. There are 12 seats for which 23 candidates were nominated. It came rather as a surprise that Fianna Fáil as a party are not contesting the election. There is reason to believe, however, that the interests of some of their supporters have been merged in the newly formed Howth Development Association, which is putting forward 9 candidates. One of the candidates, however, informed our representative that the association was non-political and that the members were owned out merely for the development and interests of the townships. The following nominations were lodged. So the West, there's two constituencies in Howth, West and East. And in the West side, the Howth Development, which had 5 seats, the Howth Development Association had nominated Aidan O'Neill, Thomas Mullen, and Gerald Griffin. Mullen was actually Fianna Fáil councillor in Dublin County Council, I think it was, and later stood in a by-election. I think he was elected to the Dáil as well for one term, but he later stood in a by-election in Dublin County for Fianna Fáil. In the East side, which was a 7 seat, the bigger of the two constituencies, Howth Development Association nominated John Harding, George Slater, Francis Cassidy, John Brett, Edward Connolly, and John Lacey. Now, in the Howth West ward in the election, Thomas Mullen was elected, having polled 121 votes. And in the East ward, Cassidy, Edward Reed, and Jay Harding were elected for the Howth Development Association. So at the end of the elections, the United Ireland Party, which was Fine Gael, had 5 seats. Howth Development Association had 4. And there were 3 independents on the council. Not a majority, but they had a third of the seats on Howth Urban Council. The Development Association continued on with its work. There was dancing displays. The concerts and so on were still still ongoing. And there were plans too. Loudspeakers, obviously, in Howth got removed for the winter with the storms and stuff. And Howth Development Association hoped to be in a position to install a set of speakers, loudspeakers, able to relay selections from broadcasting stations in addition to playing gramophone records for the visiting public in Howth. And the Howth Development Association were campaigning as well for lamps to be erected in places with bad lighting. And they continued on with their hopes to secure a public park in Howth. The Howth Development Association's put on Irish dance competitions in Howth, as well as sponsoring medals and helping arrange a road relay foot race from Dublin to Howth for a cup called the Plunket Cup. And it wasn't just tourism that the Howth Development Association was interested in. A very prominent member of the Howth Development Association suggested that Howth would be an ideal site for a canning industry. The Hill Tram powerhouse, now idle, would provide a large, well-situated premises for the purpose. It is built beside the Great Northern Railway with a siding of its own and is only a mile and a half from Howth Harbour, where there are plenty of idle fishermen quite willing to ensure supplies of the raw material fish. As there are about 15 girls and the same number of men idle in Howth, there would be no lack of willing workers. So, factories as well as dancing and things. In the 1935 Dublin County by-election, Mr. Thomas Mullen, leader of the Fianna Fáil group in Dublin County Council, was chosen by a large majority out of the seven candidates proposed. Mr. Mullen, who teaches in Dublin, is the leader of Fianna Fáil group in Dublin County Council. He is a member of Howth Urban Council and a member of the Howth Development Association. A native of Castlebar, Mr. Mullen served in the West during the War of Independence. He's a member of the National Executive of Fianna Fáil and of the Comhairle Dáil Cantar. In the 1933 general election, Mr. Mullen contested County Dublin and had a strong poll. The National Executive Fianna Fáil met on Saturday evening and ratified the selections for both Dublin and Galway constituencies. Mr. De Valera presided. So, in that by-election, Mullen. There was just two candidates, Cecil Labrie of Fine Gael and Mullen of Fianna Fáil. And Mullen polled 32,656 and Cecil Labrie 43,671. So Labrie won the seat. And I think, as I mentioned before, Mullen was elected in 1938 for Dublin County to the Dáil. All the time there was. Well, there was some objection to being Howth itself being its own township. Future of Howth Township, and this is from late 1935, Union with Dublin. A public meeting of ratepayers of Howth Urban District in the St. Lawrence Hotel passed the following resolution: that this public meeting of the ratepayers of the Howth Urban District being of the opinion that the district cannot be economically administered as a distinct local government entity, hereby requests that the Local Government Dublin Tribunal will recommend to the Minister for Local Government and Public Health the desirability of including Howth and Sutton in the City of Dublin. We are also of the opinion that Howth, being a pleasure resort for the citizens of Dublin and more than a mere local concern, that the burden of maintenance should not fall altogether on the resources of the comparatively small number of ratepayers in the district, and should to some extent be lightened by liberal government grants. Mr. R.J. Burke, who presided, moved the resolution and pointed out that they were now paying 20 shillings in the pound in rates, and if they were to redeem their overdraft, the rates would be doubled. The only solution for the position was to secure absorption into the City of Dublin. Mr. Hugh Boyle seconded the resolution. Mr. Thomas Mullen, addressing the chairman, said, "You tried to break up the Howth Development Association, and you will just be just as unsuccessful in your efforts to break up the Howth UDC." Mr. B.J. Newcombe said personally he would be in favour of being included in the Dublin Greater Dublin area. He was against the proposed coastal area. Mr. G. Mulvan, chairman of the Howth UCC, said that the council was taking its business seriously and was endeavouring to give a fair crack of the whip all round. There had been abuses when they took over office. He wanted publicly to repudiate the charges made against Howth UDC. Nothing they could do, or that a commissioner could do, could make Howth self-supporting at the present time. On the motion of that Mr. O'Boyle, seconded by Mr. O'Connor, it was decided to form a ratepayers' protection association. So the whole viability of hotels, basically, because of rates being their main source of income, they were local businesses, whilst obviously doing well out of tourism, felt that they were subsidising Dubliners coming out to Hoth by providing the facilities for them at the cost of their rates. But with the view to popularising Hoth as a seaside resort, efforts have to be made to bring about improved amenities and also to secure better train facilities for trippers and residents. The existing train service to Hoth was described as disgraceful by Mr. R.J. Burke, on whose proposal the Urban Council has decided to enter in negotiation with the Department of Industry and Commerce and the railway, bus and tramway companies. Interviewed by an Irish press reporter, Mr. Thomas Mullen said that in the last 12 months the council had made considerable improvement to the township and it was their aim to make Hoth a resort second to none. A few years ago, when the Hoth Development Association was in being, they started negotiations with the Great Northern Railway Co and asked for better and cheaper travelling facilities. They also suggested the erection of a footbridge at the station platform for convenience of bathers going to the Strand, but the company would not make any move at the matter. At the time, the tramways company were prepared to meet the association if the railway company would agree. The railway company, said Mr. Mullen, have had 3 years to make a move, but they have not done so. Instead, their policy has to be run fewer trains and reduce their staff. The bus fares, he said, instead of being reduced, were increased. In 1933, when the Binay, their bus service, was running, the return fare from Dublin to Hoth was 8d. Now it was 1 shilling on the GNR buses. Railway season tickets were not interchangeable on the buses, a regulation in regard to which both residents and visitors complain. Another grievance, he says, was that while cheap summer railway trips were arranged for Skerries and Port Marnock, and even for places across the border, Hoth was not considered. An effort had been made to close down even the Hoth Hill Tramway, but this idea was abandoned following strong protests by the residents. The people feel, added Mr. Mullen, that the trouble is due to the competition between the railway company and the tramways company, and it might be better if a monopoly were given to a concern with headquarters in the Free State, who would provide a better service and thus help developing the township. A Dublin businessman who resides in Hoth also complained about the regulation prohibiting the use of railway tickets on the buses. Season or monthly tickets, he said, worked out cheaper than weekly or daily tickets, but they were not valid on the buses. If the tickets were interchangeable, it would greatly facilitate travellers as they could use the bus or train, whichever was more convenient. So they're standing up for transport in the area. In 1942, those wishing to have Hoth moved to Dublin Corporation, where their wishes were granted. And at that stage, the Hoth Development Association was no longer a political entity. It didn't stand any candidates in subsequent local elections or anything like that. And something called the Hoth Development Company evolved. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks to everybody who subscribed to the podcast. If you haven't done, please do and tell your friends about it. Thanks too to everybody who's subscribed to the Patreon. It's patreon.com/electionit and supports both the podcast and the website. Thanks.